That was Taylor Swift and Style, 7 minutes past three on this Friday afternoon. And I have a guest. I don't often have guests on my show, but I've got a guest this afternoon. She is Carol Herman, who is the head teacher. See, I remember headmistresses and headmasters. That's what I remember, Carol. But today it's head teacher, isn't it?
Yeah. Not gender specific anymore, no.
Carol is the head teacher of Shenfield High School. And before we go any further, I hadn't realised until, name dropping, but you were on the Victoria Derbyshire show this morning. I hadn't realised that Philip Hammond actually went to your school.
Indeed. He was a student at our school from 1967 to 74, so way, way before my time. But
yeah.
And nobody actually in the school now remembers him personally, but the legend lives on. He was very entrepreneurial, we understand. He used to run the school discos and make a profit. So clearly...
So this is his job as Chancellor. Perhaps we can give him a job here. You know,
yeah, he can come and sort my budget out for me. That would be helpful.
Yeah. So now you're the head teacher, so a lot of responsibility for you at Shenfield High School. Philip Hammond has just unveiled his new budget.
He has.
What do you think?
Well, not very happy, really. We're really concerned about what's happening because there appears to be much more of a focus on money going into free schools and grammar schools than actually looking at the needs of schools that are currently operating. The problem we have is that, and this is what the public hear, that there is a cash flat budget for schools and that we are protected. But actually on the ground, it's not like that at all, because even though we have the same cash...
More cash, is that right? 5.5% extra?
Well, potentially so, under the new funding formula, once it's been agreed. But the issue for us is that there are costs over which we have no control. So, Statutory Teachers Review Body will say that teachers have a 1%, which isn't very much, but 1% every year over the last 3 or 4 years out of a school's budget where it's not directly funded is a lot of money. Equally, national insurance contributions going up, pensions, the apprenticeship levy, all of that money has to come out of our cash flat settlement.
Yeah.
And we've worked out, other head teachers across Essex and nationwide, that it actually amounts to an 8% cut.
Really?
Now, yeah, absolutely. And that's the problem, because we have to make ends meet. We can't have a deficit budget. That's not allowed, of course. So that money has to be found from somewhere. And the only controls we have is over our staffing and other costs for the curriculum.
So you're saying that you might have reduce the number of teachers in your
school?
Well,
that's already happened in many, many schools, that different structures have been used, jobs have been reduced. We're now at the stage, though, where there's nothing much left to cut. Our numbers in classes are going up. 32, 33 would not be unheard of in many of my classes, which are a lot of young teenagers within a room. And we're even having to think very carefully about when perhaps a member of staff goes on to another post or retires, whether we can actually afford to replace them.
Okay.
Now, in the end, we're going to have to think about whether we actually have to cut subjects.
Is it laid down anywhere that classes can't have more than X number of pupils?
No, there are guidelines for the youngest students. So in an infant school, for example, in early years, infants classes, you can't have more than 30. We have direct control over the number of students in our classes. There are, of course, health and safety guidelines around design and technology classes and science classes. So you would have to have a smaller number than that if you were doing experiments, for example. But we have to organise our curriculum and organise our students and classes in a way that is cost effective with the money we have.
You teach some quite unusual subjects at your school, or relatively unusual, in that you major, don't you, on performing arts and sport? Well, maybe not major on them, but they're very serious subjects.
They're strengths of ours. And therefore we've really capitalised upon that. I mean, we're in a situation in Brentwood where there are a lot of secondary schools, and so each of us are trying to offer something a little bit different. And our focus, of course, has to be on course subjects. That's our accountability, and it's the ticket for the majority of students into further higher education and training and jobs. But we do have particular strengths in sport and performing arts. And sadly, in many other schools, not in ours, because it's such a central focus, but other schools are saying that's the sort of thing that may have to go.
Now, going back to my school days, it was a long time ago. I'm not going to tell you how many years. they didn't teach sport and performing arts. Right. Is it important to teach this?
Oh, absolutely vital. I mean, we are an all-ability school. Students from all backgrounds are welcome to come to Shenfield High School, and that's the case in the majority of schools in the area. We say to our students that it's our job to shine a light on whatever talent you have and to make the most of it. It's not for every student that they're going to be wonderful mathematicians or English students or scientists. For some students, the reason they get up in the morning and come to school is because we have tremendous performing arts classes, we have wonderful sport, we actually have a vocational centre where we focus on horticulture and animal care in our school. So we try very hard to be as broad, as balanced, as diverse as we possibly can, so that we really do shine a light on
each
child's talents.
But those are the subjects that could be hammered first, those sorts of subjects, the non-core subjects.
Yeah, absolutely. The problem is that there are accountabilities for schools. So we report against the percentage of students who do well in their English and their maths. We are being pushed towards what's called the EBAC, which is basically a grammar school curriculum, and reporting against the number of students who do well in English, maths, science, a humanities subject and a modern foreign language. That's not for everybody.
Yeah. I was reading, about foreign languages, I was reading that foreign languages, in fact, could be under threat. I'm surprised at that. I thought foreign languages would be classed as core subjects, like French or German would be a core subject.
Yes, they're not compulsory at the moment. The government would like them to be. But in our school, we actually offer German and French and Spanish. Spanish for everybody in Year 7, and our modern foreign languages is building, and hopefully we're going to be offering an A-level in Spanish for the first time next year. So we prioritise subjects where we have those progression routes for students, but for every school they're going to have a slightly different focus, and we've got to try to hold on to that diversity as much as we can.
Right, now moving on to this letter. You've written a letter with your colleagues to Sir Eric Pickles, who of course is our local MP.
Yes.
Can you sort of give us the bullet points of what's in the letter?
Yes, absolutely. Well, in fact, there's been a series of letters. The first letter was from on behalf of all of the secondary head teachers across Essex, and there were similar letters going to all of the MPs across Essex, saying basically, you're saying it's cash flat, but it's actually an 8% cut. This is what we're having to do. Can you please support us by understanding our dilemma and talking to your Treasury colleagues, talking to the DfE about the fact that a national funding formula is a smokescreen if there's not enough in the pot in the first place, and a focus on grammar schools and new free schools where potentially they're not needed is actually neglectful of schools that are already operating. So that was letter number one. I've had a reply from Sir Eric asking me for further details, so I've written him a follow-up letter about the specific funding issues we find ourselves in Shenfield, and other colleagues have done the same about their schools. And then another letter went yesterday, and this was actually coordinated across four different counties, basically saying the budget is a terrible disappointment. We've given you a very reasoned argument over time. We understand that we're in austere times, that the economics of the country mean that we have to take our share of that burden. However, this is misguided. Can you please listen to this very reasonable set of arguments we're putting to you? So, you know, we await a response, and I hope that we'll get one.
So how much clout does Sir Eric have then?
Well, he's a backbench MP now. He's not a minister anymore, but I hope that he has enough knowledge of his schools. I mean, he's met with us on a number of occasions over the years while I've been a head teacher in Shenfield, and I hope that he recognises that he's got real excellence in his constituency, and he wouldn't want that to be in any way diminished. There are many people who vote for Sir Eric as a Member of Parliament, and I'm sure that he would want to represent the families, the parents and the children appropriately, because in the end, as I've said to Sir Eric in one of the letters I've written, and as we're all saying, this should be seen as an investment, not a cost.
Yeah. Carol, thank you for coming in to see us today.
You're very welcome.
Best of luck with your fight.
Thank you.
Carol Herman, head teacher of the Shenfield High School, chatting about the budget.